Everyone, and welcome to another episode of Convos and Cocktails. I'm your host, Lesego Tlhabi. This is the show where we drink, we learn, we laugh, we chat shit, we do a lot of things. My guest today is Lungile Thabete. I will tell you why I brought her here.
Hi,
please can you tell us what your cocktail, because,
apple juice.
Okay, so why are we drinking apple juice?
Or water, but apple juice since I'm being festive today.
Okay, so we'll get into why it's apple juice, but yes, we are not drinking for this episode.
But there's a reason.
It's not, I mean, I like sneak cocktail, but it's fine. So we are here to speak about body politics. We're here to speak about weight loss surgery. I think there's a lot of stigma when it comes to weight loss surgery.
There is, yeah.
So before we even get started, why did you decide to like even be public about I guess your choice?
I wanted to be public. I think I have moments where I just sporadically expose a very intimate part of my life, mm-hmm. whether it be my skincare journey or my weight loss journey now. And with my weight loss journey, I just realized a lot of people like don't talk about it. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't talk about their struggles in losing weight or struggles in gaining weight, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
And the reasons why you're struggling to lose that weight, mm-hmm. whether it be medical or whatever. I know locally I wasn't, when I was doing my research before I did my surgery, mm-hmm. I wasn't finding a lot of people talking about it in South Africa. It was more like in the States or wherever. And I was just like, let's talk about it. It affects all of us, so why not?
Mm. I think for me, one of the things I noticed when people speak about surgery, and this is also including like your BBLs, and which is completely different, but is the judgment from especially Black people. So did you experience any people sort of coming at you like, why don't you just go to gym? Why don't you just eat?
I did. But you know what? It wasn't as hectic as I thought it would be.
Okay.
It was mostly positive, which was surprising in a very good way. The people that did have like judgment or bad judgment towards it was because they hadn't listened to the other or like saw the other posts where I had uploaded as to how I even came to the decision of like getting the weight loss surgery. Yeah.
Okay. So let's speak about that. Like, first of all, what is your relationship with your body been? You know, because we do have body positivity where people are like, I'm like this and this is the way I am. And, you know, for me, I've fluctuated my whole life, and there's very moments where I've been my biggest and I truly wasn't happy. I can't say that I was like everything is positive all the time, like I wasn't, and I decided last year to make changes, hella changes, to get to this point. So what was your relationship like with your body, and when did you feel like something very, very drastic or different has to happen?
So I'd always being regarded, well, and I say this in relation to like my friends at school or my sisters, I'd always been regarded as like the bigger, chunky, chubby girl throughout my life. And when I look back at pictures, I realized, you know what, I was actually quite skinny.
Oh why my did God, I feel- right?
Yes.
5 years from now, even, we'll be like, wait, I was so skinny.
What was wrong? Yeah. So I'd always been regarded as the chunky kid. And that's kind of been the relationship that I'd had with my body where I was accepting of it. I was comfortable in my body, even though I was bigger than like my sisters, for example, it was fine with me. It only became a problem when I realized, okay, now it's affecting like, it's affecting how I walk. It's affecting my feet. Mm-hmm. I'm swelling from the time I'm like up in the morning and all of that, all of the health implications are what made me go the route that I did.
Okay. So now you've decided you want to do weight loss surgery, or in fact, what was the decision between like, I guess, weight loss surgery or saying, all right, I'm going to get a trainer. I'm going to like,
so I tried that.
Okay.
And I think that's why people were more like accepting online of me doing the surgery, was because I literally made a list of all the things that I tried. I tried every single diet that you can think of. I tried cutting out carbs and all of that, like completely no carbs. I've tried that. I've tried multiple trainers and I wasn't trying like a trainer 1 month and then I'm done, you know, like for long periods of time. But it wasn't working. Mm-hmm. The most amount of weight that I would lose would be about 5 kgs, and it would be like over spanning over a period of like 6 months, you know, which was ridiculous because I was going to gym at like 3-4 times a week and eating well as well. Then I went to first, I started off by going to my GP, who also put me on different like weight loss programs. There was one where I was taking pills every day, another one where I was injecting myself every day.
I feel like I've done all of those ones.
So I literally tried everything, until it got to a point where I was like, okay, nothing is working now. Like I literally have tried every single option and nothing is working out. So I ended up going to a nutritionist who then did like a full analysis of like what's happening with my body, did blood tests and all of that. And then she found a couple of things. So she, the one of the major things that made like gave me a wake up call was my visceral fat, which is the fat around your organs.
Okay.
It was, I think it, the scale is like 1 to 12 or 1 to 20, and mine was at the maximum.
Okay.
So that basically means it could be a 30, it could be a 40. We don't know, but the scale ends at like a 20.
Oh, hectic.
You know
okay,
what I mean?
Okay, yeah.
And that puts you at a risk of a heart attack. And I was like, I'm not even 30. There's no way that I could be at a risk of a heart attack at this age. She also found out that I was insulin resistant, which you basically means that your body like stores every single carb or whatever, and your cells don't function properly. So how your cells should function of like letting, absorbing the nutrients and everything else, letting it go, and then your body naturally discards it. My cells don't, were not functioning properly because of that. Yeah.
All right. So I think the other thing that people also don't realize when it comes to kind of the choices to do different things other than training, is that people have PCOS, people have insulin resistance, people have hormonal imbalances. Yeah. There's so many reasons why weight is not easily lost by different people. There's some people who can train, eat, and girl, I feel you so much. They're training, they're eating, they're seeing no results and being like, what the hell? I'm doing everything right.
Exactly.
So what is the, I mean, are you Googling or you hearing from friends, like, who is this person? And like, how did you decide, okay, this is the exact option? Because even with weight loss surgery options or non-invasive options, there are options.
There are options,
so
yeah,
how did we decide on gastric, what is it called?
Gastric sleeve.
Gastric sleeve.
Vertical sleeve gastrectomy.
Okay, Dr. Sabete. How did we decide on this procedure? And yeah, was it recommended? Was it Google?
Yeah. So initially I thought about doing liposuction because I thought to myself, okay, because I wasn't exposed to like different types of like weight loss surgery. You know, growing up, you'll see on TLC, there's like different bariatric surgeries that they talk about. My 6,000 pound life.
Exactly. There'll always be somebody who's my 6,000 pounds.
Exactly.
Like,
That's not me.
Come relate.
So I thought about doing liposuction, but I thought to myself, okay, I'm going to do liposuction. It's going to be at specific areas. And yes, I'll be slimmer there, but it's not going to target what my actual problem is. I'm still going to be big.
Yeah.
And my problem was the big, being big, especially because I'm 160 centimeters high, like tall, you know what I mean? So then I did a bit more research, and the place where I was going to do the liposuction, I then spoke to the doctors. I was like, what are the, these are my actual problems. You know, this is what I'm actually struggling with. What is your recommendation? And then they suggested bariatric surgery.
Okay. You know, I actually did the same. I was like, okay, I'm tired. For me, it was like specifically my stomach. I was like, I'm happy with my legs. Like, okay, I got an arm or two, but
it's
that's okay.
Like,
I'm in my 30s, the boobs. But when I went to my doctor, he was like, look, we can take this off, but that you need to like the whole.
Exactly.
So go to gym for a while. I went and then away for a while. And now I'm like, okay. I still want to do the tummy tuck, sir, just by the way, now that I've lost the other weight. But now you found this doctor. So you go and you do like a, I guess, what is it called? A
consultation. Yeah. Yes, so it's actually a network of doctors.
Okay.
And they network of doctors because they do different things.
Mm-hmm.
So initially I was obviously in contact with the doctor that was going to do the liposuction.
Mm-hmm.
But then he then put me in contact with the bariatric surgeon who then did my vertical sleeve. And yeah, that's how I got in contact with the doctor.
Okay. So now you're telling your people, like, I'm going to go do this. Like, first of all, there's prep, right? I mean, I know
there
that
is,
there's
yeah.
a lot of the times people call it the shortcut. And that's what I hate the most, is because I did research before
exactly.
this interview. And I'm like, first of all, you have to be this certain weight and you have to show a lifestyle of commitment before you can. So now you've set up for this, operation. Like, what is the getting ready process? What is the stuff you have to do before you can get to the operating table?
So obviously, obviously they go through, there's an entire list of like questions that they ask you before you even get to the hospital mm-hmm. where they do the physical examination. But they're asking for your BMI, your current weight and all of that. Mm-hmm. And then there's the diet part, yeah. which is a pre-op diet. It's quite strict. It basically is preparing your body for the amount of calories that you're going to be consuming post surgery. Mm-hmm. And it's dependent on the doctor, how long you're on that pre-op diet, but mm-hmm. it's extremely important. It also allows you to be able to shrink your liver so that okay. they're able to maneuver around your insides, essentially, for them to be able to do the surgery, mm-hmm. You know, properly. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's basically what you need to do prior. Okay. Yeah.
But now, are you not like scared? I mean, I think surgeries are so invasive. Like, going under, like, what? Are you not like shitting your, yeah, like, yeah. shitting your pants?
Literally. I was so scared. I was also scared because like I traveled alone.
Mm-hmm. Where was this? No, it wasn't in South Africa.
It wasn't in South Africa.
Because I did get a question. I'm going to ask you a couple of questions from our followers, but people were like, okay, so we all have to go to Turkey or is
no,
this-
no, I don't you know. Don't. So I did it in Turkey.
Okay.
And there's reasons why I decided to mm-hmm. do it in Turkey, but you can 100% do it in South Africa. Mm-hmm. I know in Johannesburg, they do it at the Lifestyle Hospital in Waterfall.
Okay.
Yeah, but there's specific hospitals that do bariatric surgeries in South Africa, mm-hmm. but you need to be a specific size also.
Exactly. So I did also actually last year want to do this thing and I was like, you know what? I've seen lipo saying no, then I must do this. But at the time, they were like, you need to be this specific size. And yes. it was bigger than I was. So I was yes. like, now I must gain more in to order
lose
to qualify.
Weight. Nah, didn't that. Make sense, right? Like, nah. It's also extremely expensive in South Africa. It's like more than double the amount as well. So yeah, but the reason why I decided to do it in Turkey, and I don't remember the question exactly, but...
Well, actually, just basically why Turkey for...
So yeah. I did it in Turkey because, number one, I had seen other people that had done it there, mm-hmm. and I didn't know anyone that had done it in South Africa. Mm-hmm. I also wanted to do it with surgeons that I actually trusted and had done the research on, mm-hmm. and I guess I just didn't trust.
Did you know people who had done this specifically in with the doctors that you went to?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Specific people. And also people that have done other procedures with those network of doctors.
Okay. Yeah. Please, can you put me on the BBL network? Because my God.
I got you.
So, okay, you go. And then how long is this that you're staying there? I mean, is it like, because the recovery you do still in Turkey or yes. you came right back?
Yeah. Like a week. They basically tell you need to be there like 8 days after surgery.
Okay.
4 of those 8 days you're at the hospital. Mm-hmm. They're monitoring you. They're making sure that everything is fine, that the surgery went well, that you're managing your pain and all of that. And then 4 days at the hotel afterwards. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So I want to speak a little bit about the psychological aspect of weight sure. loss in general,
yeah.
But also the weight loss surgery. So is there any part of it that they kind of ask you questions to do with, yes, we're going to give you the surgery, but if you don't fundamentally also change your relationship with food, maybe,
absolutely.
Or your relationship
yeah.
with your body, this might be something you have to come and now yeah. do every 4 years. Mm-hmm. So is there that element of it?
Yes, that's a real thing. So when I got to Turkey, I sat down with my doctor and she had a very frank conversation with me. They're also monitoring like your psyche at this mm-hmm. point. And if they feel like you're just using it as a get out of jail free card, whatever, they're not going to do the surgery yeah. on you, you know? But she had a frank conversation with me and she was just like, you know, this entails major lifestyle changes. Mm-hmm. Obviously we had spoken about this before, but then again, like in person, major lifestyle changes, how you eat, your relationship with food. If you're using food as like comfort, mm-hmm. which is what I was doing, it's not your, everything changes post-surgery. Mm-hmm. And she tells you just like even consuming alcohol, if you consume alcohol, family gatherings will never be the same. That's why it's important that your support system fully understands what the surgery mm-hmm. is about and what it means, how your life changes post-surgery as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So now you've obviously decided to do the surgery and you've gone the psychological sort of check route. But what was your relationship with your family sort of during this process? Because I know now you've got I know, Ayanda, I don't know if you have other siblings.
Yeah, I do. Okay. I have four sisters.
Okay. Yeah. So now you've spoken to your sisters, and obviously, like, are they joining you on this journey? Is it like, okay, guys, this household is all going to be, I mean, I don't know if you have a partner or friends where you're like, you know, I saw your post the other day where you said you're not going to date anyone until Jesus himself says,
literally,
this is my homeboy. But yeah, how much other people do affects, you know, what you have to do?
So my family has, I've always been like the black sheep in my family. I kind of just do my own thing, and they have always been super supportive. Mm-hmm. So it was no different with this as well. Obviously I had to explain to them what it's all about. And they then did their own research, which mm-hmm. was great. But yeah, I explained to them like the changes afterwards, like family gatherings and food. And if I'm sad, Ayanda, you can't offer me ice cream, mm-hmm. like, you know, things like that. And they were super supportive, and they continue to be. In terms of partners, actually seeing someone at the time mm-hmm. and they couldn't travel with me to Turkey. And I just felt like this is such a big change in my life, mm-hmm. and I need that support. And if you can't support me through this time, then you're not someone that can be a fixture in my life. Mm-hmm. And then we ended up separating. So yeah, but like it's important that the people around you like fully support you, and they fully understand mm-hmm. like what's going on. They physically support you, not just to say, oh, I have got your back on the phone. Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
Okay, cool. So one of the things we spoke about, obviously you did the operation in Jan.
I did it in June. Yeah.
How long is the, you know, you've got a diet or a certain thing that you have to follow post-op.
Yes.
How long is this? Is this a life thing? Is this for 6 months? Or, you know, because obviously you can't just pick back up McDonald's ice cream.
Yeah,
like you said.
Absolutely not.
So how long is the strictness of the diet, and how strict is it?
It's extremely strict. And so, okay, cool. How long the diet is? Mm-hmm. It differs. Immediately after surgery, so at least the first 24 hours, mm-hmm. I couldn't consume anything.
Okay.
No liquids, no solids, of course, like nothing at all. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just because they had just cut you up.
Yeah.
And that's just how it goes. Then after the first 24 hours, then you start like eat. It's basically like sugar water.
Okay.
And that's basically what you're eating for like 2 days, 2-3 days at least. And only after that, then they move you to like a clear broth.
Mm-hmm.
And you're on this clear broth for a couple of days as well. So at this point, you've then left the hospital. Now you're at the hotel.
Okay. So this hotel is also like kind of staffed by nurses? Or?
Yes.
Okay.
So it's like people that are, it's partnered with the hospital essentially. So by the time you're at the hotel, you're basically still on like a clear liquid diet. So essentially after the operation, you're on a clear liquid diet for about a week to like a week and a half mm-hmm. before you move on to a broth. But you're essentially on soft foods for about 4 weeks. But you, in those soft foods, then you start introducing like maybe like chicken, soft vegetables and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But your body really tells you what it wants. And the main thing, which I'm still struggling with right now, is you can't eat and drink at the same time.
Okay.
So if you...
That's a very black thing though. And just in general, this thing of chewing is... It's not a thing that other people do.
Right? It really is. So you can't eat and drink at the same time. Mm-hmm. You need to have your liquids 30 minutes before you eat. And then after eating, you can only have liquid 30 minutes after that.
Okay.
And the reason for this is when you think about like a tube, and if you've eaten something, you've mashed it up, whatever, it's at the bottom of the tube. If you drink water, it's going to wash out everything that you've just eaten.
Okay.
So essentially, to give your body enough time to absorb all the nutrients that it needs from your foods, that's why you can't drink immediately after eating.
Okay.
So that it doesn't wash everything out immediately.
So now, I mean, obviously non-alcohol and all these things are part of your...
No alcohol mm-hmm. for 6 months post-surgery.
December bread. Is that included in your 6 months?
Yes.
What a system. Okay.
No bread mm-hmm. for like the rest of your life, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
No carbonated drinks as well.
I'm sure I want to do this.
And the reason for the carbonated drinks and the bread is because it stretches your pouch.
Okay.
And anything that could potentially stretch your pouch could mean that you could gain the weight again. Mm-hmm. And some people need to get repouched, which means that you're getting the surgery again because it's made out of skin, muscle, you know, your organ. And if they're cutting 80% of that, it can still expand.
Okay. So let's actually talk about the surgery itself now. Like, yeah. What is the gastric sleeve?
They cut away 70 to 80% of your stomach.
Okay.
And in cutting away 70 to 80% of your stomach, mm-hmm. it removes the ghrelin hormone.
We don't know what that is, but it sounds provocative.
It's the hormone that's responsible for like controlling your hunger.
Okay.
So you don't get as hungry as often when they remove like that part of your stomach. Mm-hmm. And yeah, because they remove such a huge piece of your stomach, you're not able to consume as much as you were previously. And in that way, you lose weight.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now, I mean, when you have this operation done and you've now got the post-op diet, mm-hmm. When you're not going to drink, is yours to not drink forever or to not eat certain things forever? Like, how are you going to introduce your normal life or a bit of your normal life back into your routine?
Yeah. Over time, the first like couple of months, obviously the muscles of your stomach are still like contracted. Mm-hmm. So they're super like stiff and you're not able to take in as much food, mm-hmm. but over time it relaxes and you can, the amount of food that you're able to eat gets a bit bigger. Mm-hmm. But I do want to continue drinking. Listen, I like my cocktails too. So after the 6 months, I'd like to go back to like drinking alcohol. It's just that apparently you're not able to drink as much as you were before. Like mm-hmm. your tolerance is almost zero.
I mean, if you go 6 months without drinking, I'm pretty fucking sure. Also, I think there are ways where it's like, you know, people will be like, oh, you can have dry white wine. Maybe yes. not so much the cocktails and the ciders.
Yeah. Yes. So, yeah. But your doctor does tell you that. Like when you're having the consultation, she mm-hmm. does tell you or he does tell you that there's certain, if you are going to drink, maybe you can drink like one glass of wine a week.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it reduces.
A week.
It was like, easy for me. It was easy for me because I was already like not a major drinker. Okay. So I was just like, oh, it's okay. I can survive 6 months. Yeah.
Remember, it all continues over on the socials at @Lesego_Tlhabi. Now let's get back into convos and cocktails. Okay, so I've already asked you some of these, but what are the risks and the side effects? Potential side effects?
It's like normal surgery side effects like bleeding, mm-hmm. hemorrhaging. I can't really think of a lot of others. I think I wasn't as focused on the side effects. I was just say, like, I'm doing it.
Take it.
I don't care what's happening.
If I die, I die. Okay, cool. So someone says, I'm seriously considering... Yaibo, I just moved from the question, so sorry. Mm-hmm. Seriously considering gastric surgery to reverse metabolic syndrome and insulin. Does it work for that as well? Do you know the answer?
Do you know what? I think,
by the way, she's not the surgeon.
I'm not a doctor.
She's actually just somebody who had it done. So some of these questions might be a bit.
Yeah, I would say definitely consult your doctor. Mm-hmm. And because each case is different, you know, like, and how the surgery is going to affect you post, depending on like what you have on the onset. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's different for each person.
Okay. So I saw the other day you posted, I think you went for a hike, and I'm not sure if this is post or pre, but your relationship with your body seemed different or your mind or, you know, so do you think, I mean, because obviously it's just been like a month and a bit after surgery.
Yes,
so there can't be that much that's changed, although I'm sure
I've lost like 13.5
kg.
Okay. I know.
So how do you think now psychologically, because we've spoken about the relationship with food, but just the relationship with your body, with yourself has changed and I kind of will continue to change with the weight loss.
I was saying this to my sister just the other day that more than like feeling lighter physically, mm-hmm. I feel lighter emotionally. Mm. And I don't know how, you know, and I'm also more appreciative of my body right now. I think before I was taking for granted like the weight that I was at and how healthy my body was. But as I go back to being a healthier version of myself, mm-hmm. I appreciate my body a bit more. Mm-hmm. And I'm more like, I'm lighter on myself when it comes to like my fupa or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like I'm just, it's okay. If I have dimples, whatever, it's okay. I know that my body is going to continue to improve. I'm going to continue to get healthier. And that's what's more important to me right now.
Okay. So then, I mean, so obviously you think that the relationship with your body is...
It's so much more positive.
Okay.
Like so much more positive. I think I was also like, as I was getting bigger and I was not able to do... Well, I was doing stuff about it, but nothing was changing. Mm-hmm. It was kind of putting me in a depressive episode. And I would find myself not being like cocooning myself, like just staying at home. I wouldn't want to go out. I wouldn't want to go to events. And that obviously like directly impacts my work as well. And yeah, I didn't like that version of myself. Yeah.
Okay. So the last year I've also changed significantly in how I look. And one of the things I actually hate is how much my interactions have to do with my body and how much I've noticed that people are nicer to you, when you've lost weight.
This is true.
It's so crazy. It's not and nice. It's actually sad. Not nice. It's I'm just sad, like, first of all, like people will be like, you're so pretty now. I'm like, now?
I actually got a comment on my Instagram saying to me, oh, you're so confident now. And I was very quick to shut it down. I was like, I've always been confident. Mm-hmm. Don't get it mistaken.
Exactly.
Yes, I've lost a bit of weight, but I have always been this girl. Mm. Nothing has changed, actually.
Especially with that you're pretty now. I was
like, girl, get it together.
I didn't have a stage where I wasn't pretty.
Exactly.
But even I think the relationship with going to the shops, the relationship with how people treat you, like whenever I've posted controversial content, which is basically my entire life, the first thing people will do when they don't agree is go for my body. It's like, oh, well, shut the fuck up, fat bitch. Like all these things. It's changed so significantly, which horrible. Is very sad. It is. It's horrible. So has sort of your relationship with other people, and I don't mean the people around you and the people you love, but just in general, the comments, the compliments or the insults, whatever it is, has that grown and changed since the surgery?
Not necessarily. Okay. I'll be very frank. It hasn't really. I do get the comments on whenever like I speak about, oh, I've lost this much weight so far since having my surgery. Then I'll get people who are interested in the surgery itself will comment and be like, oh my God, you look so good. Can you give me more insight basically on the surgery for whatever reason? I'll get those comments, but it's my social media is generally positive, and I like keeping it a positive space.
Good for you. Good for you. Okay, so this question, I guess I also don't know if you can answer it. I'm not sure if you want children in the future. This is not something you have to answer, but somebody is asking if these kinds of procedures affect fertility or chances of pregnancy, if it's something that someone should rather explore after they have children.
Actually, apparently, when you lose weight, you become your chances of getting pregnant are higher. Okay. They go higher. I do want to have children. I know. I do want to have kids later. I've always said I want at least one child. Uh-huh. And if I'm like extremely in love, I want two.
Okay.
But after having the surgery, they suggest that you not have, well, try to conceive for at least 2 years after surgery. Okay. Firstly, because your body like is still adjusting to the size of your pouch, but also because when you get pregnant, you need to gain a certain amount of weight in order to sustain the pregnancy. Mm-hmm. And you may not be able to gain that weight if you've just had surgery. So that's why they say at least give it like 24 months, wait, and after that, then you can try again.
Okay, Lungile, that's your challenge. Wait 24 months.
I have no problem, girl.
You never know. Let me tell you, next thing, you meet someone on your way out of here. And
I'm
then
just like,
love of your life, come to the studio. Okay, so is the procedure covered by medical aid? I know that weight loss surgery is not technically cosmetic in the same way that maybe a boob job or breast enhancement, your askies, or a BBL is. But is it covered by medical aid, or is it still seen as cosmetic?
So I think it would be dependent on your specific case, how big you are. I'm sure a certain portion of it would be covered by medical aid. Since I didn't do it in the country, I had to pay cash. Like everything was out of pockets. Yeah.
Okay. Well,
I know.
Is it generally expensive? I'm not sure if you've kind of researched other surgeries or other methods, but compared to the others, is it quite expensive or
compared to which?
Kind of like the other bariatric surgeries.
I think they all range around like a similar fold. Mm-hmm. My surgery was 3,100 euros, which is about 60 plus K. Mm-hmm. And that was
kind of generally what it probably is here now.
No, it's over 100 K here.
Not 100 K.
Over. I think it's probably like 120, I'm not sure.
That's very
confusing. But it's definitely way more. Way, way, way more. Okay. Yeah.
So someone's asking, did you feel the need to justify having the surgery in comparison to perhaps going to gym?
I kind of did. Mm-hmm. I think I just expected people to be negative about it. Mm-hmm. Generally, I think in South Africa, people are a bit more conservative. So anything that has to do with like changing your body and whatnot for whatever reason, the first reaction from social media is just negative, you know?
I mean, just in general for everything.
In general, wow, exactly.
What a stupid ass country we are.
Yeah. So I for that reason, I did feel like I had to say, listen, I'm having this surgery. Mm-hmm. I want to share this with you guys, but I'm having the surgery because I've tried 1, 2, 3, and 4 and it hasn't worked. And
I think it's also sad that you have to kind of justify it. Actually, exactly. I'm having the surgery because I want to.
Yeah, period. And that's okay also, you know?
Because it's my body and it's my money. Exactly. That's why. Okay, so I'm not sure if this is ever a worry you have, but a follower is asking, are you worried that you may become too skinny? I've seen some patients look a bit gaunt after surgery.
That's a genuine concern, and I've kind of had it. Mm-hmm. I want to lose a lot of weight though, because when you lose the weight, you lose a ton, and then your body regulates itself, so you gain a bit more.
Yeah.
So when in the gaining a bit more, I want to gain a bit more and still be comfortable, like mm-hmm. be a normal weight. I don't want to lose too much. So I guess it is a worry. You can't really, at some point you can't control how much you're losing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. At least for the first year. Yeah. After that, you're settled.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the emotional impact of the surgery, like what are some of the things you weren't quite prepared for going in? That have now since happened.
I wasn't prepared for. I knew the food situation would be completely different to what I knew before surgery. I didn't realize it would be as hectic as it is, because for in the first like 3 weeks after surgery, I couldn't eat anything. Like I could only eat soup, and even then, I couldn't eat a big bowl of soup. I could have like a couple of spoons, and you're full. Mm. And in my mind, it's not possible that I'm full right now. I've not finished my soup yet, you know? But literally just 2 spoons and you're done. I wasn't prepared for that.
Okay.
I wasn't prepared for that.
And another question says, do you ever feel the need to kind of police or limit your eating around the people that know you've had the operation just to prove that you've changed?
No.
Okay.
Not really. You're also still at the point where, whatever.
You're still at the point where you can't eat that much.
Yeah,
physically.
I'm still figuring it out. Yeah. I'm still figuring it out. And if I can't do it at that time, it's okay. The people around me understand. Yeah.
Okay. So now there's another question. See the Ozempic craze that's kind of hit, I guess, Hollywood.
Yes.
Not sure if it's hit that hard here. But the question is kind of why opt for surgery instead of going the injections route?
Ozempic route. Oh, yeah, so I did explore that, actually. Okay. But when I was doing my research, Ozempic is for diabetics. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to get on any form of medication if I don't have that sickness or have that condition or whatever, you know. I'm not diabetic. I was pre-diabetic, but there was no reason why I would be using diabetic medication if I'm not. And also, when we're talking about Ozempic, because everyone is jumping on this Ozempic thing, there's shortages of it. So people that are actually diabetic then can't access this medication that they need because people are trying to lose weight. And that's not how it's meant to be.
Yeah. This is very true. Okay, so I think one of the last questions I'm going to ask from this section. Okay, I can't ask you about a C-section because you don't know.
No.
I was asking if it's more painful than a C-section.
I have no idea, girl.
None of us have experienced the C-section. So what is the weight? Because you said in South Africa, you do have to weigh a certain amount. Mm-hmm. Do you know what that amount is? Just because someone wants to know, what is the certain weight I have to weigh to?
I think your BMI has to be between 38 and 40 or above that in South Africa for you to be able to do it.
Okay, I don't know what that means, but do your research also. I mean, people must also...
Yeah, you know, exactly.
For me, that's halfway. Do you think this will affect your mental health, like going forward? Like, how do you think it will perceive, how it will change how you perceive yourself for yourself, but also how you are in the world?
Definitely. I think, like, how I perceive myself...
Because like you said before, you're already confident. This is not something...
Yeah.
But I do think... personally, from my experience, always been confident, but there's just a different kind of confidence, I think, that comes with.
Yeah. I think there's, you're right. There's a different type of confidence when you're confident in your body as well and how you appear, and especially if you're in the public space. Mm-hmm. So it affects my mental health in that regard, where I feel more comfortable being out there. Mm-hmm. And I feel I'm going out more. Like, I'm comfortable being around people. I'm confident in what I wear and whatnot. But for my family, I remember when I was telling them that I'm having the surgery, they were really concerned about, like, how are you going to, because I was using food to cope a lot as well with, like, any emotions, whether I'm sad, whether I'm happy, I'd eat. Yeah. You know what I mean? So now that I can't eat, how are you going to be able to cope, you know? So
very familiar.
Yeah. So the condition with my family on me doing the surgery was, you need to have set up the support system prior to going and having the surgery. So you need to have a therapist and all of that set up and ready to support you.
Yeah. I think one of the things that people also don't realize about losing weight is the relationship the world has with you.
Yes.
One of the things I found most stressful before I lost quite a bit of weight was shopping. It's supposed to be a nice, fun, girly thing that people do, but shopping. I could not.
It made me sad than anything.
I've cried in many a change room.
Same.
Just because they'll say size 16 and that was in my head my size.
I need an 18.
And then I think I need a 16, but this is not a fucking 16.
It doesn't fit. Exactly. Was horrible.
Designers. Oh, I've had...
That's a whole other thing. Yeah, that's a whole other thing. Or like you want to get styling and then you find a dress that you love, but now you have to buy fabric that's going to match the dress because they need to extend it on the sides.
Mm. That's if you even find it. I did a magazine shoot once and they catered only for certain people. I had to go home and get my own dress from home.
Oh, no.
And I was like...
What? And it just feels embarrassing as
exactly.
well.
Exactly. Because also this was something I pre-planned. They knew I was coming. It wasn't a surprise.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I hope that the world is also kinder. I think it sucks that, body politics goes hand in hand with how people treat you. But there's such a difference with how I navigate the world now just because of how much kinder the world is.
That's true.
And I think that's a big part of why I think body politics is so important.
Yeah.
But how do you think this is going to, not from even just a personal perspective, but just in general, the reasons why you did this operation was for a lot of reasons, but how do you think it's going to change your life moving forward?
I think it's just going to be, it's going to allow me to navigate a world where it wasn't, a world that wasn't suited for me at the size that I was, you know? Getting into spaces and feeling beautiful, not only the closest people telling you you're beautiful, but people that you don't know telling you you're beautiful, it does something to you, which is quite sad, actually. But unfortunately, the world is just not suited for people that are big. Even getting on a flight. Getting on a flight and you're feeling like, oh, I hope I'm not next to someone that's big as well, because we're going to struggle together. Now we're both tight, you know? That's what I mean about navigating a world that's just not suited for you.
Has this ever affected you kind of in your dating? Because now you said you obviously had a partner before. Is there a difference in Lungile from before? And again, it's only been quite a short time. But is there like a difference just in the dating scene for you?
Do you know what? I think like not because my physical physique has changed, but more so because I'm lighter, I'm happier. So I think that naturally just attracts people, you know, you want to be around someone that's happy and like cheerful and whatever, as opposed to someone that's sad and conscious about like hiding their belly or whatever, you know? So I think in that regard, it has changed my dating experience.
I think one of the things I noticed, which we don't want to talk about, but people ask, superficial. I think all of us are. We all want an attractive partner, whatever that means to us.
Yeah.
For me, it just felt like it opened the scope of who I was attracting. Because before I was, like I said, very confident, very whatever, but there was a limit to who was like, okay,
this
I would
true.
Date someone. It's kind of,
you kind of the like limits put yourself at a specific level and you're just like, oh, I'm not, maybe you want a specific type of guy, but you're not able, you feel like you won't
exactly.
be able to.
And also they have like a lot of outward biases because I've been, you know, I've had conversations with people where maybe they met online, they've gone on the date and the person has been disappointed because actually your face was really pretty, but you didn't put body pics. Is this what you really look like?
Yeah.
Just terrible, terrible, kind of anecdotes and experiences. So when that does happen, it does, it opens up the door, although you don't want to date someone who'd be like, I'd only date you at this
weight,
because
that's
fuck,
horrible.
Shit might change.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just for me, the world's kindness to me has been very eye-opening, but very heartbreaking at the same time,
yes,
because I also don't want the first thing that everybody says to be about the body. And it is.
Yeah, unfortunately.
And it kind of makes it like, shit, like, I don't want to really, get annoyed, guys? But like, really, is this all? Like,
I know.
If I'm like this, I'm cool or pretty. And if I'm not, then I'm invisible.
Yeah. Do you know what? Anyway. In my previous relationship, and this is like me doing those random things where I just open up a lot. Mm-hmm. But in my previous relationship, I remember there was when I was telling like my guy about having the surgery, he kept saying this, and he said this a couple of times. He said to me, when you've had the surgery, don't leave me. And I thought to myself, wait, do you think I'm with you? Because like, I feel a certain way about my body, which made me feel like, oh, I'm not sure about that. You know, I don't know about what do you mean by that? You know, which is quite sad.
Yeah. I had a conversation with Wendy on season one, and we spoke about guys will also assume that just because you are bigger, you feel a certain way about yourself, and therefore you're willing to put up with more shit.
Yeah.
Like, they'll be so shook that you'll either say no to a date with them, or that you'll be not willing to put up with as much mess.
Yeah.
And that's really crazy.
Yeah.
Anyway, Lungile, thank you so much for answering as many questions and being as open. Can people come to your Instagram? Like, are you willing to answer the questions that they have for you?
They can. If I'm doing a Q&A, then I'll answer. Otherwise, I might not always.
Okay, cool. So you can go to Lungile. It's Lungile Tabete.
Lungile Tabete, yes.
No underscores.
Nothing.
And full stops.
Okay. Just me.
Cool. What do you want from now and the next 6 months, just post-surgery, for your body, your mind, and your soul?
I just want to live a happier version of myself. Mm-hmm. Like, I've worked so hard to be where I am in my career, in my personal life as well, just like with my mental health as well. Mm-hmm. So I just want to live in that. I want to be the happiest version of myself. I want to go out. I want to really enjoy life. Mm-hmm. I want to see life. I want to travel. I want to be with the people that love me and care about me and care about my well-being. That's just all. That's all I want for myself right now.
Personally, what I want for you is to shake your ass on a yacht in the phone.
Period.
But thank you so much for coming through.
Thank you
for your apple juice.
Yay!
Oh, yes.
Clink, clang.
Okay. This has been another amazing episode of Convos and Cocktails. Please follow Lungile Tabete on Instagram. Do you have an X account? I almost said Twitter.
Just follow me on Instagram and YouTube.
And if she's doing a Q&A, she'll answer your questions. Do not disturb her otherwise. But it's been amazing. Thank you for coming, and thank you for tuning in. Season 3 Convos and Cocktails, produced by Lesuga Tlhabi and WMG, and recorded at Podcast TV Studios. Remember, this podcast is streamable on Spotify and other major streaming platforms.